Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. In his inspired letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul tells Christians to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. On this first Sunday in Lent, as we fix our hearts and minds on a path that leads to the death of the Son of God on a cross at Calvary, our gospel reading paints a vivid picture, reminding us of the truth that our real fight is not against human enemies or our corrupt human nature alone. The battle that we are engaged in is against an unearthly power of evil, and an enemy that has 1,000 seductive ways to tempt us. In this war with the spiritual forces of evil, whose goal is to sever our communion with God, expect no sympathy or compassion from our enemy, for he will give no quarter, and there will be no truce called in this war for human souls. The gospel passage that we read today describes God leading his only begotten Son into the wilderness to fast and to pray for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards to be tempted of the devil. This account of the Son of God and the devil in a face-to-face confrontation in the wilderness, it's a sobering reminder of the power that our enemy maintains in this world. The battle that these verses describe, it is not a battle that we could have won. The devil is powerful. As Martin Luther noted in our processional hymn, on earth is not his equal. We heard about the way that he was able to take Jesus into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, as well as the way that he was able to take him up into an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. We know from history, and we know from personal experience, that facing the fiery darts of the enemy, it isn't easy. And in some ways, he even appears to have an advantage. He can't get tired. Well, we can and do. He knows our every weakness, while we fail to understand or even acknowledge them ourselves. He is perfectly deceitful, while we are not perfectly anything. This confrontation in the wilderness was not a fight that we could have won. In fact, while we can recognize a clear parallel between the temptations Jesus faced in the desert and those confronted by our first parents in the garden, we cannot compare the magnitude of what he confronted and conquered to what they faced and surrendered to. The book of Genesis tells us about the reasons why Eve ate that forbidden fruit. Listen carefully to this verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In that verse, we recognize three reasons that Eve surrendered to the devil's scheme: a disordered hunger, the tree, the forbidden tree, it was good for food, it was pleasing to the eyes. And Eve also saw in that fruit personal gain. It was desired to make one wise. These are the selfish motivations that are the beginning of sin. And Lent is a season for us to confront those fatal flaws. It's a season to reflect on our own disordered appetite for the things that God has forbidden. It's a time to consider how that which is pleasing to our eyes can lead us away from Him. And Lent is an opportunity for each of us to turn from our own selfish ways that we may more perfectly love God and neighbor. Our Lord entered His creation to conquer sin and death, to set us free from the chains that bind us. And this battle in the wilderness, it's the beginning of Him undoing all that we have done. Jesus begins His journey by confronting and resisting the same temptations that our parents faced in the garden. In the desert, Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. As the God-man, He is fully divine and fully human. I found some research that was compiled from hunger strikes and discovered that in humans, severe symptoms of starvation begin at 35 to 40 days, with death occurring between 45 and 60 days. Yet, at the end of a 40-day fast, when Jesus was literally starving to death, when the enemy tempted Him, saying, "Command that these stones be made bread," our Lord, who turned water into wine, refused to fill His empty, aching stomach with the bread of disobedience, and instead said to Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus confronted and resisted the first temptation that mankind did not. And the two other reasons that humanity fell can be seen in the devil's final attempt to defeat the Son of God. The devil took Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I ask you, could there be anything more pleasant to the eye than to witness the fullness of the glory found in God's majestic creation? The temptation of personal gain was there as well, because the devil spoke those deceitful words. He said, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Like every sinful temptation, this is just another lie. For the world is not the devil's to give, and he would not give it if it was. For he is a liar and the father of lies. He promises you that you'll be filled, yet he leaves you hungry for more. He promises you freedom, but then he leads you into slavery. He promises you life, but the wages of sin is death. Our Lord responded to that final temptation by saying, "Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus overcame the temptations that he faced. He was victorious where Adam and Eve and we were not. This gospel account of the Son of God and the devil in a face-to-face confrontation in the wilderness should cause us to reflect on the truth of what God has done for us. The fact that He takes no shortcuts in our redemption. As the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, we know that God could have chosen any number of ways to save us. But He didn't choose any number of ways, did He? He didn't snap His fingers or wave a magic wand. He didn't stand at a safe distance or insulate Himself from hunger, temptation, pain, suffering, or even the agony of death on a cross. God sent his son into the wilderness of this world in human flesh to walk the path that we walk, to confront and to conquer everything that led to our sin and death. And because of that unthinkable yet historic truth, we find our rest in the assurance that he walks with us still. In every trial, in every temptation, he knows our pain. He knows our struggle. For he has walked this suffering. This Lent, unite your life to the one who made you. Unite your life to the one who loves you so much that he freely chose to walk your path. For he is the only one who can minister to you every step of the way. And at the end of your journey here on this earth, he is the only one who can open the door and lead you into God's heavenly kingdom. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.